Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. These are the 10 best films of 2025.
It is the end of the year and the beginning of the year, and so I would like to follow the venerable film critic tradition, habit, of giving the 10 best movies, my choices for the 10 best movies of the year. And I guess I have kind of an eccentric list. But then again, I think all critics ought to have eccentric lists and not just to plug into the same things that everybody else is plugging into. So a couple of these, maybe more than a couple, will be sound sort of obscure to people. They're not the big hits, but they are well worth seeking out. So I will, as is normally done, I will start with number 10 and work my way up to what I regard as the best movie of all of 2025. And my number 10 choice is the first movie by the actress M. Beth Davids, and it's called Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight. Kind of an eccentric title, and it's a good movie. It takes place in Zimbabwe, which used to be known as Rhodesia, and the main character is an 8-year-old girl, and she lives on a farm with her family, and there is war raging all around them as huge social and political changes take place. And we have not only the experiences of this little girl, but obviously the experiences of her family, of her parents, of people around her, and so forth. And what fascinated me the most about this movie, Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight, is that it really does offer a very balanced portrait of the very different kinds of mentalities that are involved in this incredibly fraught socio-political situation. We have, yes, the fact that the black people in Rhodesia had been maltreated and oppressed and deprived of rights and all of that, but we also see how the white people could feel very attached to the land and could feel that this was also their country and not want to be displaced from what they feel they have worked for. And it's just a fascinating political portrait, which is told through very, very human terms. Highly recommended, a really good movie, and again, a very, very promising directorial debut by M. Beth Davids. It's a very, very well-made movie. Number 9 on my list, the 9th best movie of the year, I have chosen Jim Jarmusch's very, very new film, which has yet to open very widely, called Father, Mother, Sister, Brother. And as that title may suggest, it is very much about family members, but it's really three different stories. The title has four different words in it, but it's really three different stories, one of which deals with a young couple. Well, they're not that young anymore. A brother and sister who are visiting their father, played by Tom Waits, who's an eccentric old guy. And they're visiting him in his sort of isolated house, and they just have some interactions with him, and some things are found out about him that we didn't know before. And then the second part of it involves a mother having tea with her daughter, who she hasn't seen in a while, and they're both sort of posing each for the other, the mother beautifully played by Kate Blanchett. And then the final episode shows a brother and a sister visiting the apartment where they grew up in Paris after the death of their parents, and it's sort of a poignant story, but it's not sentimental. It's a very, very formal movie. As the title may suggest, father, mother, sister, brother, we have those four words just lined up. The movie has different resonances, things that echo and repeat from one episode to another, even though the characters and the settings are completely different. It's really a fascinating movie, not 100% successful, but one of the most interesting and fiercely independent movies that I saw during the whole year. Number 8 on my list is a movie called Sovereign, and this one's been around for a while now, but it's a really fascinating movie. It's about a father and a son who regard themselves as sovereign citizens, that is, people who don't recognize any government law. They regard themselves as the sovereigns of themselves, and they're not going to plug into society in the way that most people do. What interested me about this, A, I think that's a very fascinating subject, but B, it's about this young man, this son, who is sort of trapped in this life with his father, who has this extremely eccentric outlook on the world, and how the kid is sort of trapped in it, and it's unclear as to how much he really would like to get out of it, but then again, he doesn't really have a choice. It's a really, really interesting movie about father-son relations, and also about what I regard as this frightening phenomenon of people who regard themselves as sovereign citizens. Sovereign, a movie made by Christian Swago, really good film. Number seven on my list, Nuremberg by James Vanderbilt. This is a very, very ambitious movie with a terrific cast, which is all about the Nuremberg war crimes trials, and it's told from a very unusual point of view. The main character in it is a psychiatrist, and this is based on fact, who was brought in to sort of examine some of the people who are going to be on trial for Nazi war crimes, and to make sure that they were sane enough to be on trial, and about how this psychiatrist develops close relationships with a couple of these Nazi war criminals awaiting trial. A very, very interesting movie, an ambitious movie, a beautifully made movie, highly recommended. Next, number six on my list, It Was Just an Accident, the new movie by Jafar Panahi, one of the greatest of all of the Iranian filmmakers. He's been making movies for a long time, and he is in terrible trouble right now, and has been in terrible trouble for quite a while now with the Iranian government. He does not get along with them. They don't trust him. They don't like him. They don't want him to be making movies. But somehow he keeps on making movies, and he has made this one, which is called It Was Just an Accident, and it is now playing around America, and it's an excellent movie. It's about a man who is an ordinary automobile mechanic, and totally by accident, he runs into a man who comes to the garage for some repairs, who this man believes is the person who tortured him and kept him captive in an Iranian jail in an earlier time of political upheaval. And so this mechanic gets a hold of this guy who he thinks is his former captor, his former torturer. But then he isn't sure. He wants to be sure this really is the person who he remembers, because he was held under such horrible conditions that he isn't even sure of all the things that happened to him. So he travels around with this guy in the back of his van looking for other people who might be able to help with the identification, may be able to help him be sure that this is the person who he thinks the person is. So it's an unusual story. In a way, it's kind of an absurd story and even a comic story, but it deals with very horrific things. And it deals with things that really, really happen. And it's a very daring move by Jafar Panahi to make this movie about things so close to the bone in Iran. So, by the way, it's just a really good movie, aside from all these fascinating things about it. Highly recommended once again. Number five on my list, so we're halfway down my list of the 10 best movies of the year, movie by Oliver Lax called Sirah. This is a movie which starts out in the desert. Most of it takes place in the desert. And we have a rave going on. And we think, oh, this is going to be a movie about young people who attend raves. And to some extent, it is that. But it turns out there's a man there with his little boy. And they are looking for his daughter, his older daughter, who ran away. And they're trying to find her, and they're searching for her. And they think they might be able to find her at this rave. They do not find her at the rave. So the father and the son decide they have to look elsewhere. They get involved with some people who they meet at the rave, who they then travel with for the rest of the movie. And they're all looking for this young woman, where she might be. They're just going through all kinds of inhospitable terrain. And along the way, some really disastrous things happen. It's a suspenseful movie. It's a beautifully acted movie. It's a beautifully filmed movie. Sirah, well worth seeking out. Next of all, number four on my list, a horror movie, Frankenstein, by the very, very fine filmmaker Guillermo del Toro. And this is, yes, a retelling of the old Frankenstein story. Dr. Frankenstein invents a monster, brings him to life. The monster turns out to have a life of its own, and all kinds of things happen, some of which are very violent, some of which are really, really quite sweet. And the movie takes a long course. It's a long film, but well worth sitting through. When I saw this movie, I thought, at the first 10 minutes or so, it was going to be a really bad movie, one cliche after another. But then the movie turns out to be really, really, really good. Beautifully filmed, beautifully acted by an excellent cast, a really good and original retelling of the old Frankenstein story going way back to the Mary Wollstonecraft novel. It's a faithful retelling. It's beautifully done. Guillermo del Toro at the top of his game. Number three movie, third best movie of 2025, a film by Ido Fluck called Cone 75. It's all about a great big jazz concert that really happened. This is not a documentary, but it's a movie that recreates these events way back in 1975. The very fine jazz pianist, Keith Jarrett, was traveling from place to place doing solo improvised piano concerts. And this is about the lead up to one of those concerts, all told from the point of view of the concert booker who set up the event for him in Cologne, Germany in 1975. Well, all kinds of things happen along the way. Poor Keith Jarrett, who's got to do this big concert with these high stakes, the concert hall is not one he ever would have chosen. He has to do it late at night. His back is killing him because he's so low on money that he had to cancel his plane ticket and make a long, long drive to get there. Then when he gets there, it's completely the wrong kind of piano. What's going to happen? This is all so beautifully recreated and so beautifully done. It's just an excellent, fascinating movie, whether you care about jazz piano or not, whether you care about Keith Jarrett or not. I just found it a completely engrossing film. By the way, the concert did take place. It turned out to be a phenomenally successful event. The recording of it, which you can easily get a hold of and hear, is the best-selling jazz piano album of all time. And Keith Jarrett himself would like to find every copy and destroy it if he could. So that's another little bit of real-life background that makes this movie so interesting. Second best movie of the year, and this is maybe a very strange choice of mine, but I can't resist it. It's another horror movie, Bring Her Back, made by Danny Philippou and Michael Philippou. It is just such a brilliantly cinematic film. It's full of violence. It's full of real horror. It's a horror movie that really delivers on all those things. It's really suspenseful. And above all, it is amazing cinema. Beautifully edited, beautifully filmed, beautifully acted, including by Sally Hawkins, who plays one of the main roles. Bring Her Back. If you can stand the horror, it's a really, really marvelous film. And in my opinion, the second best movie of 2025. And finally, the best movie of 2025, Sound of Falling, a movie by Masha Shilinsky. And this is a very, very ambitious and very difficult art film. It's about four girls. We follow them in different historical periods. One of them is just before World War I. Another one is the end of World War II. Another one is the 1980s. And then we have very, very recently, just a few years ago from now. And these four girls, they live very different lives because they're in completely different time periods. But their lives are interconnected in various ways. Now, some of these girls of different ages, they're all very young, go through horrible experiences, sexual assault, parental abuse, all kinds of awful things. But we see how resilient they are, and we see how they survive these things. So that's what the movie's about. But this movie, Sound of Falling, is mainly fascinating for me, again, as an act of cinema. It is beautifully filmed. It is beautifully acted. It is beautifully directed. And it has atmospheres and moods which I found completely engrossing. So in my opinion, it's the best movie of 2025 and well worth seeking out, Sound of Falling, a marvelous, marvelous movie. Now, I want to just finish up by mentioning some films which are not on my list of the 10 best films of the year, because I regard them as being hugely overrated by most of my critical colleagues. We movie critics do not always agree with one another. And in this case, I really don't agree on some of these things. They will win Oscars. They are already winning big awards. Most critics love them. I don't. So I want to just throw in a word about them. First, I'll mention Marty Supreme. This is not a bad movie, but it just strikes me as being incredibly overrated. It's not that good. Another one, The Secret Agent. Not a bad movie, but my gosh, overrated, not that good. and finally, one battle after another. I wouldn't be surprised if this movie, by the way, I call it one car chase after another, I wouldn't be surprised if it wins the Academy Award for Best Movie of the Year. I think it's a bad film, and I think nobody should go to see it, and that's my opinion, and even though almost everybody disagrees with me, I'm sticking by it. So once again, I would say seek out some of the movies on the top of my list. Frankenstein, Clone 75, Bring Her Back, Sound of Falling. These are excellent, excellent movies on every level, and I think everybody will do themselves some real good if they're a little bit more adventurous in their movie going and seek out some of these somewhat overlooked films. Some of them will live on in memory much longer than these other movies, despite all their big prizes. So those are my choices for the 10 best movies of 2025. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the 10 best films of 2025.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.